Well, I had something happen to me this morning. It hadn't happened in 5 years. I was pulling out of the driveway, and I went down a block to Floral Avenue. And when I put the brakes on, I saw my Bible sliding down the windshield, heading toward the hood. I had forgotten. I didn't have the hook top down today, and I'd forgotten I left it there. Only other time that's happened was, and it didn't slide, was when I was living in Alturas. I think I was going to Lynette Gaviola's father's, who was Priscilla's husband's. And I stopped right near State Route 16, Alturas Road. And this young man jumped out of his car and ran back to me. He said, "Sir, you have your Bible on top of your car." Oh, you talk about pages wrinkled. It was. Now, this time they were not wrinkled. But boy, I'm still ironing those pages out on that Bible to this day, 5 years after it happened there. So anyway, you know, it may have been parents, various relatives, friends or whomever suggested perhaps a certain career vocation. I think my mother had me set to be a medical doctor, which wouldn't have been a bad profession. I think she had dollar signs in her eyes, and so did I. But I ended up going through in college, how you change your major from one thing. I think I started out as a pre-law school, and I don't know, I ended up in forestry. Now I'm a preacher, so figure that one out, how God can take you. You know, never expect your life to be in a straight line. It's like a Singer sewing machine. It goes in zigzags, doesn't it? You just think about your own life and how it is. But you know, for most people, for meaningful and a productive life, it doesn't, such things, they don't come around that often. And yet we assume to always know better, and down the road of life, the realization of the big boo-boos that we've made with so many dead-end streets and choices left up to us. But we must remember that God offers the best there is. But unfortunately, we like to test the waters ourselves and prefer our choices instead or first of all. You know, as the old Frank Sinatra song said, "I did it my way." And when you do it your way, sometimes you live to regret it. But after those disappointments and terrible repercussions, it is then realized that God's way is superior. Now, today there are stories about people who join these cultic spiritual groups. You read about them all the time. Some people get drawn into these groups because they think it is a right thing to do, or feel alienated from churches for various reasons and seek something welcoming. You know, it may seem the correct thing to do, but not very smart. Most people enter such organizations with very little knowledge due to honest ignorance of what they're getting themselves into, unfortunately. Some of them can be deadly, too. Lack of solid religious understanding could be the primary reason for it. Some others, you know, never bothered to read their Bibles to educate themselves about the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, some of us remember the tragedy way back in 1978 took place down in Guyana in South America of the Jim Jones Group. I'm sure most of you remember that without me elaborating on it, when hundreds of people committed suicide at his urging. It was accomplished with poison green Kool-Aid. Interestingly, Jones was affiliated with the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. And because of Jim Jones, and I'm also affiliated with the Disciples of Christ, but I use purple Kool-Aid. But anyway, I must renew my ordination annually. If not, it could be revoked. Now, the Presbyterians don't require it because Jim didn't come out of the Presbyterian Church, but they were scared to death. I'm sure there were some lawsuits over that, too. But it's all because of the abuses of Jim Jones over 45 years ago. And as a minister of the gospel, I must nurture my faith daily. But more specifically, whether it's teaching Sunday school or leading a Bible study on the shorter catechism of Westminster Confession of Faith or preaching on Sunday mornings, I learn something profoundly new about which strengthens my faith. Now, for those people who think they are clever, and you know, we know a lot of clever people, don't we? We probably even met some today, you know. But they're only fooling themselves. If we do not water or fertilize our flowers and plants, then they will wilt and possibly die. The Garden Club ladies know that as well as anybody who's present today. But our faith will likewise shrivel up too. Some people may hear or read something that sounds like the truth, but do such beliefs conform with the Bible? For example, where in the Bible is found the verse, God helps those who help themselves? Pat Pittman, do you know where that verse is found? God helps those who help themselves? No. It's Poor Richard's Almanac by Benjamin Franklin is where it is. See, a lot of it, I had a woman in a former church, she quoted that verse, that little quote verbatim, and swore up and down she learned it in Sunday school. And I didn't want to humiliate her in front of a Bible study group, but I thought later on, I don't even think I ever approached her about it, because she wouldn't have believed me anyway, you know. So it's amazing how a lot of things get integrated in with our faith, and it may be some extracurricular activities which function in that regard. A true sign of immaturity is the attitude of becoming easily offended. Oh, I've had people that, I had a man one time in a church, because I said, you know, it's sad that people have to work on Sundays. I was not making a judgmental statement. Oh, he came up, I was a visiting preacher. Oh, he came up to me with his tomahawk ready to hit me with it. And I said, oh, sir, my wife has to work on Sundays. I said, well, she does, and I'm sure God is very understanding about it. But boy, he had his shirt sleeves rolled up ready to tangle with me. But it's amazing a lot of times how people can get easily offended. Some people feel betrayed and leave the church. Paul dealt with people who had adhered to doctrines not well grounded in the teachings of Jesus Christ, but had incorporated other controversial or divisive beliefs that created confusion for people in the early church. Colossians was written to repudiate those repugnant doctrines that denied the basic teachings of Jesus Christ. The leading false doctrine was called Gnosticism, with capital G in front of it, and it spread like wildfire in the early church. Gnostic means knowledge or greatly learned. Anytime someone claims to have cornered the market on the truth, according to their interpretation, and declares themselves correct while insinuating everyone else is stupid, then problems soon arise. They do. Now, I'm not saying that educated people don't come up with stupid ideas, because they do too. But these Gnostics claim that their knowledge was much better than the message of Jesus Christ. So the Gnostics emphasized that Christ was not the divine Son of God. A substantial number of people in the early church accepted such doctrines because of their shallow faith. You know, sometimes you can get up, and I've told you this, a friend of mine, just to test the biblical literacy of his congregation, read some nursery rhymes, and they thought it was the gospel truth. Now, that sounds ridiculous, far-fetched, and everything, but it happened, actually did. Faith and knowledge should be reflected in a life that glorifies God in character and service. As a result, a stable faith will be the outcome. There is no excuse for ignorance about spiritual matters. Since Mr. Gutenberg invented the printing press that permits complete access to the Bible to study regularly. Have questions about the Bible, perhaps faith or even religion? Well, don't be shy. You know, you can ask me anytime. I'm approachable about all that. Growth in faith and knowledge will call for endurance, even flexibility, without succumbing to confused ideas and thoughts. It requires, again, patience, which will result in a vibrant and in-depth faith. One of my heroes of the faith is John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church. He said, as a young minister, he preached constantly, but saw little fruits of his labor. Now, why did he say such a thing? Well, Wesley believed it was because he had not emphasized a heart filled with humility and repentance. Yes, that's an old church word, repentance. You don't hear it much anymore. As given to professing believers by the Holy Spirit. He had taken it for granted that all to whom he preached were Christians, and later Wesley realized his faith, or the lack of it, was the problem. What he had needed was a faith always pleasing to God through a warm personal relationship with him, as found in repentance. You've heard me use the Greek metanoia, which means, for repentance, means to turn around, make a U-turn. Not something detached, but completely committed to God. Wesley now understood the importance of developing a mature faith. And as I've mentioned in the past, I love to read my old sermons going back a few years. I probably should be in the antiquities section of the library, but I still like to go and read some of them. And it is remarkable to notice the growth in my faith in thought from, say, even 20 years ago. Some of those sermons I would never preach today because, my spiritual life has grown, and hopefully for the better. And it's with a humble confession that some of those old sermons possibly hurt and offended others in what the content was, because, as I said earlier, I was one of those that thought he had the market cornered. And a little bit know-it-all. You can't do that. We all come in to church with our faith growth at different levels. We're not all on the same level. Some of us may be faster than others, or more advanced, and some may be a little behind. But that doesn't matter. We're not going to put you in a special ed class for that. And so, rather than those earlier sermons bringing comfort and healing to the listeners, I may have brought on, and I think that I might have brought some disturbing trouble in their lives. Now, I've asked a few people that were in those churches, and that's been 20 years ago, and if you're like me, I can't remember what I preached today after I get through, but I've asked them, and they said, well, I don't remember you ever preaching an offensive sermon. And I thought, well, that can be good or bad on that part, but they couldn't recall that. So I guess the Lord took care of their memory on that part. But just a reminder, always be a dedicated pupil of the Bible, and your faith will never become stale or stagnant. Whether your faith is minuscule or gigantic, God will help in every way possible. Never be reluctant to seek assistance from the Heavenly Father. There isn't any sin, wrongdoing, or offense that God won't forgive. I've had people come to me and they say, oh, I just don't think God will ever forgive me. And so I said, well, whatever that sin was or shortcomings, be assured that God is there for you. And some have told me later that they confessed it to God, and God forgave them for it. Now, I think that's grace in action from the Lord, don't you? When you know that whatever you've done has been wiped clean. You remember the old blackboards they used to have in school, and they had their eraser. How many ever dusted erasers for the teacher? Yes, yeah. And you just wiped it off. Or even took a rag, wet rag, and wiped the blackboard so it'd be clean for the next day. Well, that's really what God does. Are we having sign language down here? Yes, like that. A minute ago, if y'all wanted to know, when Marcia was walking, I thought she was waving at him, but she was scratching her hair, and I waved back at her. I just wanted to know I'm not that crazy yet, you know. But anyway, but you know, we have to remember God is forgiving. Now, a lot of people say God is all loving. Well, he is. But I think we overlook something. God forgives. And that's the greatest thing, I think, that God does. He forgives us of everything if we only ask him to. How many people do you know have a lifelong guilt trip on something they did when they were 14 years old, or maybe 34 years old, or whatever it is, and they never know, knew all along that God was there for them at the same time. Pray and think about whatever in your life, and I guarantee you that if you talk to the Lord, you will come away with a peace of mind and a peace of heart, because that peace passeth all understanding. Your faith may truly discover a renewed and revived life. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for being so understanding on we mortals who seek to do what we can for the best, but we know sometimes we do fall short. And we pray that as followers of you and disciples, that we can truly say that we are your children. Thank you for that, and we pray all this through the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen.